I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Ron Ananian.
I chose not to work on his car. And I think that's within a mechanic's right. I think a mechanic has the right not to have to work on everything. I think the conversation is respectfully declined.
Well, I said no, 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 I can't take it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door.
The Car Doctor.
On the regulator, there's an A, and then I, then F, and then F.
Where does the I go?
The I says it goes to a white wire that goes to the fuse box.
So that means it's power. So that means the back of the alternator, that I terminal, must be 12 volts.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Did I tell you the story about the 07 Ford that we had problems with recently? It's just kind of a classic case of, you know, when things go wrong, but they end up right. And it happens, you know. We had an 07 F-150. We've worked on this truck for a long time now. We've gotten to know it very well. It's basically a plow vehicle. It's an 07. It's got 67,000 miles on it. It doesn't have a lot of miles. Shows you how little use it really gets. You know, and it's being affected by rust and age and weather, and it sits around a lot. The person that owns it just uses it to plow the driveway out. They've got a bigger house off the road, and they need to get out to the main road during winter months. So it's kind of the plow vehicle, and that's all they do with it. And, you know, a little jobs and odd things around the house and so forth. But, you know, it's not the daily driver. So the complaint was the red brake light comes on at the dashboard, flickers on and off. And we got the vehicle, didn't see it, saw no red brake light. No matter what we did, we couldn't get the red brake light to come on. So, you know, there's two reasons why the red brake light will come on this vehicle. Like most vehicles, it's either a fault with the parking brake switch, or the parking brake, you know, you push down the parking brake, the red brake light comes on, excuse me, or you will see low fluid in the master cylinder, or it could be a bad float sensor in the master cylinder, and either one of those two will cause the red brake light to come on. So we didn't see a red brake light on, we couldn't duplicate it, no matter what we did, we drove it and nothing happened, and, you know, we took the lid off the master cylinder, we looked at the sensor, we gently pushed down on the sensor, it didn't come up, red brake light stayed on. Aha! Because the fluid was a little on the low side because it turns out it needed front brakes. The front pads were just a gnat's eyelash away from going metal on metal. And the fluid level was low enough that, yeah, you could see that, you know, on a turn, uphill, downhill, you know, some sloshing the fluid around. Maybe the float comes in contact and would turn the light on and it wouldn't come back up. The light was on at that point. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, and it's a plow vehicle. Did I tell you that part? I think I did. So, you know, it's pads, rotors, calipers. All right, because you could see one side of the caliper, the inboard pad was faster, was wearing faster than the other on one side. The other side had a brake hose that was bulging. So it needed some mechanical repairs to the brake system, pads, rotors, calipers, hoses. And I put a master on it. It's 15 years old. The sensor was sticking. The fluid was getting dirty, which it'll do from lack of use, right? You know, brake fluid absorbs moisture 7 to 10% a year. It's hygroscopic. And it will absorb moisture and show contamination and breakdown. So let's put a master on the vehicle. It's time. You know, one of the other things I always say, and I mean this sincerely, is we're running out of parts. All right, older vehicles. If you can get parts now and you're planning to keep it, and Rick, the owner, was planning to keep it, let's do it now. Let's get it done. Pads, rotors, calipers, hoses, master cylinder, float level sensor moved good. Hey, we're done. Took it around the block. Red brake light came on. Well, at least we got brakes. So we dove a little deeper. Couldn't get it to happen again. Couldn't get it to happen. Drove it. The light went out. And it just kept behaving itself. It's been a while since I've seen an 07 F-150 on a regular basis. So I went through my notes and I started reading again, which is why I keep notes in the first place. And then it hit me. These were common for instrument cluster faults. The instrument cluster itself would fail and have its issues. So I took the top of the dash apart, and you know, the connector on the left side was where the feeds came in through the brake light switch going down to the red brake light. And sure enough, if I kind of wiggled and gently massaged that left connector, the brake light would go on, the brake light would go out. Aha! We need a cluster repair. Sent it out for cluster repair. And I could prove this very, you know, hardcore every time. Got it to do it. Sent it out for cluster repair. Brought it back. Took it around the block. Vehicle's fixed. What's right? What's wrong? Nothing. You know, sometimes you got to fix the obvious. You have to fix known bad. I say this to you all the time. All right? You can't ignore the failures of other parts of the vehicle and repair, well, I'm going to fix the red brake light. You know what? The red brake light's not unsafe. It doesn't. It contradicts what's really going on, but it's not unsafe. No brakes is unsafe. Poor brakes is unsafe. And Rick got it. He understood 100%. And as he said to me, he said, you know, Ron, a new plow truck is $65,000. A stripped, boy, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture, right? A stripped F-150 that'll take a plow is $60,000, $65,000 now. It's it's just crazy. Now, the argument could be made, well, he could hire somebody to plow the driveway, but I think in all honesty, I think that's Rick's moment of sanity that he gets to go out there and play push the snow, and you know, he just gets to he enjoys that, you know, and I get that, you know, like, listen, I enjoy cutting the lawn sometimes, and you know, just that moment of solitude when you're out there and about. So I guess the point of this, as we kick off this hour of the Car Doctor, is just, you know, yeah, there's no rule that says it's any one thing. There's no rule that says, you know, we can't look at the rest of the vehicle, nor shouldn't we look at the rest of the vehicle. The rule is fix the vehicle and make it safe. Make it right. You know, when the systems are failing, you've got to either make a commitment or get out from under. Kevin brought in his 07 Ford Edge this week. About 3 weeks ago, he was driving around visiting his mom in upstate New York, and the oil pressure light came on. And he stopped at his mom's repair shop up in that neck of the woods, and he needed an oil pressure sending unit. He had a switch failure. So they did that, and 3 weeks later, he's dropped it off at the shop because he collected a bunch of dash lights, ABS, traction control, the wrench maintenance light came on, the TPMS light came on, no check engine light, just about everything else. And when I scanned it, it had a fault code P0722, which indicates a problem in the output shaft speed sensor circuit. Some research talked about, based on the VIN code and the date of the vehicle's assembly, it could have a problem in the wiring harness. It could be a problem with the sensor. so on and so forth. And, you know, on research to do that sensor, it's down deep in the bowels of the transmission. The transmission has to actually come apart. And I said to Kevin, I said, Kevin, are you committed to this vehicle? 160,000 miles, 15 years old. Are you ready to, you know, get deep into the bowels of the trans and, you know, possibly do a sensor? Do you, you know, we could do a deep dive, which we would have to for a diagnosis. Do we need to look at wiring? You know, there's a bunch of things to consider here. No, he says it's time to get rid of it. I'm done. And that's the difference. The point becomes both vehicles are 07s, but Rick was, I'm hanging on to this. Fix everything. I want it right. Kevin's point is he was done. He didn't want to fix the 07. And understandable. It's a personal human decision. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong on either side. The point becomes you got to know what you're getting into. You've got to know what your level of commitment is. If you want to hang on to it, fix it. If you don't want to fix it, don't fix it. But understand the costs and understand where that can lead. There's no guarantee that Rick's plow truck won't need something else major before the end of the year. And there's no guarantee it will. But he didn't spend $65,000 is how he looks at it. Kevin, I don't know. He's going to go out and test the market and see what vehicles cost today. And I think he's going to be shocked. And he'll probably be back because there's no cheap used vehicles out there. And there's hardly any good new ones. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best in car advice, give Ron a call, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Let's go over to Dickie in Maine with a 14 Ram and some four-wheel drive problems. Got to get that working for winter. So welcome to the Car Doctor, Dickie. How can I help?
Yeah, hi, Ron.
Yes, sir.
I have a 2014 Dodge Hemi Ram shot box, and it keeps showing the code on the dash there, a service four-wheel drive system.
Okay.
I've always taken care of my own stuff, but everything's sealed now. There's no way to add fluid or anything like that. And I haven't coded it at all, so I don't know what it is.
Right. So, you know, obviously we'd like to know what the fault code is. There's been a lot of problems with that. And understand, just so we're clear, and I think you know this, but I just want to say it. When they say service four-wheel drive system, they're not saying it's time to change a fluid. They're telling you the system's not working. It won't go into four-wheel drive, will it? Have you tried?
Yeah, it works fine. Four-wheel drive, nothing works fine on it.
Okay, then I'm going to tell
no
you. You've got
there,
then. I'm going to tell you. You need to pull a code and see what's in there, because it sounds like you're getting a warning message because it's seeing some sort of a fault, whether it be an intermittent defect or a hard defect. that it's not going to work properly come this winter. Now, a couple of things to note. That works with the front axle actuators. The front differential axle actuators on those have a real high failure rate.
Yep.
You know, so they're known to go. The other issue is Chrysler, in their infinite wisdom, decided to put all the wiring and the grounds in and around that actuator. So, you know, guess what? You're out there plowing snow. You're out there driving on a cold, wet main road, and all that chemicals over time, all that chemical gets on the wiring. Check for a broken ground wire up by the driver's side motor mount. That ground, if you trace it back, I believe goes to the FAD, the front axle, front differential axle actuator. And then you can get into power and ground at the connector. I've also seen the connector get corrosion on it, and it creates enough internal resistance in the connector that the actuator can't be read properly or actuated properly, and that's an issue. So, but
that's up near the front driver's side.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Motor mount.
Right.
Okay.
But the fact that it's working now tells me that, you know, we've got to go look at this and not just hope and wait for winter to come up and that it'll be working properly. Let's go see what the code is. Yeah, something's going to go on there.
On the Canadian border.
Right,
on the Canadian border and get plenty of snow.
And understand, not an OBD2 scan. You've got to go in with something that's year, make, model specific, because we want to look at transfer case, four-wheel drive. And I'm willing to bet it's going to be a C as in Charlie, 147, B as in Baker, or 147, B as in Baker. That was a common fault for the front axle actuator, and I bet you that'll take you on the path. All right, kiddo?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir. Good luck to you. If you need more, I'm here. Yes, sir. Not a problem. You're very welcome. Let's get over to, let's go talk to, is that Marie in Maine? And see what's going on here. 09 Camry. Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Love your show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I got a 2009 Camry SE.
Okay.
And I bought it, and it's never been in an accident. I bought it at the Toyota dealership. I've had all my maintenance done at Toyota service. It has 71,000 miles. So about 3 weeks ago, the engine light went on. It was steady. So they said replace the gas cap, so I did. Well, it came back on again, so they ran the diagnostics, and they didn't see a problem, so they reset the light again. Well, I'm going in next week, and I really don't know if you had any words of wisdom, or I love this car, but I don't want to spend, like, tons of bucks, so any ideas?
Yeah, let's back up a second. Who said put a gas cap on it? Toyota?
Yes.
Okay. So do you know what the numbered fault code was? Was it a P0441?
I don't know.
Okay.
That.
So let's have a general conversation, you and I, all right?
Okay.
If you took a gallon gas can and filled it up with gas and sealed it and put it outside on your driveway on a hot sunny day, what do you think will happen?
Oh, it might blow up or something.
Right, or it's going to expand and bulge and leak, right?
Yes.
So, let's take the gas cap off and so it doesn't build up any pressure. But now what are we doing? We're venting fumes to the atmosphere, right?
Yes.
Cars are the same way, all right? Your car has a gas tank, right?
Yes.
So if they sealed that gas tank, what do you think would happen to your car?
Kaboom. I see.
Kaboom.
That's triggering the engine light.
Right. So, you know, it sounds like this is going to be what we call, big word here, college word, evaporative emissions system fault. But there are multiple ways and multiple tests in which we test the system's fuel tank for integrity. Think gas can in the driveway, right? Most gas cans have a pour spout. They have a vent spout, right? We could put a sensor in there to measure internal pressure. There's a bunch of ways we could test that container to see if it has integrity or if it's leaking fumes, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, maybe one sensor fault is a P0441, then the other one's a P0442, and then the other one's a P0443, and so on. So until we know what exact fault code this is, we're just having a great conversation, you and I, but we're not getting anywhere. So
okay, no, they didn't give me the codes or anything when they ran the diagnostics.
Right. Well, you know, just so we clarify, a diagnostic is more than just a code scan. It's, okay, we've got a P0441. Then somebody either sticks their head in a book and understands how that 441 occurs.
Okay.
Right? Just like when you go to the ER and they take your heart rate. Gee, Marie, your heart rate's a little high today. Let's go look and see. Let's go run some. What do? They run some tests, right? They might.
I have a nurse myself. Okay. So I know that.
Yeah, you know where I'm coming, right?
Yes, I do.
Heart rate. They're going to look at blood pressure. They're going to look at pulse. They're going to look at, you know, they're going to ask you all kinds of questions. You know, that's a diagnostic. What they've done at this point is they've done a code scan. Not enough. They took your heart rate and blood pressure. They got to go to the next step. All right?
Okay.
That should be fairly easy to diagnose and repair. Of course, the one overall factor is you're in Maine, right?
Yes, I am.
And they get that funny stuff called snow?
Yes.
And to combat that snow, they put what on the road? Chemical. And that chemical that chemical causes a lot of things to rot and rust out on the cars?
Okay.
So when we're looking to see if that gas can in your driveway has integrity, it's intact?
In an
automobile, we have to look at the vent lines. We have to look at the purge. We have to look at all the controls and self-regulation. It can be done.
Okay.
So I think reasonably you should look at, I think you're going to spend 2 hours of diagnostic time. 2 hours of diagnostic time a shop should be able to go through if that is a hardcore present problem and diagnose it. All right? If they want to. And that's one of the keys, Marie. So go in, talk to them about running a diagnostic. Talk to them, you know, hey, you're willing to spend 1 to 2 hours of time. Can they give you some answers? And if they can't, unfortunately, then you're in the wrong place. You got to find the shop that can. But that's not an unrepairable problem and not something I'd think about getting rid of the car over because it should be able to be fixed. I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor. I'm back right after this. Don't go away.
Ron's in the zone, the AutoZone studio, and he'll be back right after this.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every highway, let me slip away on you. Every highway, you seem better days.
Welcome back to the AutoZone studio. Here's Ron.
Hey there. So I'm back. Let's see. I want to read this from Randall. Randall wrote a very nice email. Randall from Newington, New Hampshire. Ron, I love the show. I'm writing about, I have a 2000 Honda Accord EX with a four-cylinder in the California emissions package. It has a loud exhaust, or it had a loud exhaust, I'm sorry, so I replaced the exhaust from the manifold to the tip a few months ago. I used the new NTK, good choice, heated oxygen sensor and the new catalytic converter. As soon as I started the car, the malfunction indicator or check engine lamp lit up. I knew immediately what was wrong. The sensor isn't right. It was the only component with an electrical connector. I tried a Denso heated oxygen sensor, and it had the same issue. I went to my service manual and looked up procedure for testing components. I tested both of the new O2s. They both have a resistance value of 3.5 ohms. The old one, still in the old cat, had a 7.5 ohm value. Spec in the manual is between 2 and 20. They should work fine, but I don't. I bought a Walker O2 sensor from AutoZone. It has a resistance value of 10 ohms, and the light is off. The rest of the wiring seems fine. Voltage is in continuity within spec. I tested those with my voltometer. It works now, so it's done, and as you say, out the door. A couple of comments here, Randall, and for everyone else. Service manuals are great, but there's nothing like having current, always changing, always updated, fresh information from an online source, all data, all right, for example, because this is a 2000. This vehicle's 23 going on 24 years old. Service information has changed a lot since that book was published. And it'll probably have changed by the time I get done doing the show today. That updated information is always handy to have. You know, I would question, because I have run into this on 2000. I think I talked about this not too long ago, 2000 and 2001 Accords, where I couldn't find proper O2 application by design. And I ended up talking to the boys over at Opus IVS, and we had them reference it, and we found the right part number that way. So I don't think this is an issue that NTK or Denso had problems. NTK, in my opinion, is an OE sensor. It is an OE sensor and one of the better sensors out there. I don't think companies that large make their living doing things wrong. I think this was a catalog application or a parts lookup error message. So just be aware of that. One of the things you could do, Randall, is you could go out and sign up. Go to shopsquadonline.com, shopsquadonline.com. Sign up as a repair shop. And you'll have access to all the information in Shop Squad, and you can actually look up parts directly on the NTK website. And they present a bunch of information. As a matter of fact, if there is an application error or if there's reported cases of problems looking up O2 sensors, for example, on this vehicle, it'll be in Shop Squad Online because they record those kind of things and display that information. There's an awful lot of information out there at shopsquadonline.com, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of that well, nor do I expect to. But in any event, on with your email. Ron, I'd love to hear any insights you've had this issue with a car heated O2 before. Well, there you go. There's some of it, that getting the right part sometimes is difficult. I'm wondering if the ECU is just tired and wants the higher resistance of the, or the wiring is getting old and has too much sensitivity associated with it. If the connectors are so higher resistance is needed to maintain the current. No, I think it's a parts application error. I've had this issue before. And purchasing a different part number from an NTK, and that vehicle would work right. I think this is a poor application lookup. Honda didn't do things exactly right back, it's 23 going on 24 years ago. So, you know, one mistake, things get lost, and nobody's going to remember how it was corrected. You know, if you wanted to take the time, this is one of those things when you get into applications or cataloging that if we were to go back far enough and look far enough, we might find a technical service bulletin from Honda that says, hey, this part number is supposed to be this, but instead it found out that it's supposed to be that. You know, when you think about it, it's kind of amazing how the manufacturers keep their part numbers all lined up and in order, that they're right as many times as they are. I'm amazed at more times at how many times we get parts right versus that, you know, 3% of the time when we get parts wrong. So I wouldn't take that to heart. I'm not sure what the computer checks with heated circuit or it's adaptions programming. I did check the codes with my old code reader. It was a DTC P0141 secondary heated O2 sensor when heater circuit malfunction. I'd be lost without my manuals or imagination. Imagine what you could do, Randall, with online data again, you know, like an all data. So just something to think about. I also did a 10-minute memory reset, disconnect the battery along with the code reader. I rarely have an issue with this car in terms of computers. I've replaced all the metal fuel and brake lines, front subframe, fuel tank, and struts and springs about four cats and exhaust. The cats only need to be replaced because the flanges rot out. They seem to last about 7 to 9 years. He then goes on to say repair is an art form. I love how creative repairing things is, just figuring out the puzzles. You know, Randall, I appreciate somebody that's out there trying to do this on a part-time basis And, you know, you seem to be doing it well. You seem to have a clear thought process. You know, oxygen sensors are oxygen sensors. They're not tough to test. And we can only test them. I don't think a repair shop can test an oxygen sensor 100%. I think we can get into the 85-90 percentile. You know, I think it's difficult. I've seen a few cars, not necessarily just Hondas, but vehicles where the oxygen sensor is biased. It doesn't start its reference voltage at zero, for example. It'll start its reference voltage at a negative 2/10 of a volt, and its range will only go as high as positive 8/10 of a volt because it's a one range volt sensor. That biased O2, which skews more to the low side, which is a lean condition, constantly causing the vehicle to add fuel, is a rich condition, is the tough one to find. But I've seen that. You know, but the majority of O2 sensors, we can do a bunch of things. Vehicle running, shoot it with a little propane. Does it go, as we used to say, pig rich? Will it hit 0.8, 0.9? And I'd like to see 0.9 because I've seen 0.8 on a biased O2, and just testing one side of it with propane doesn't do any good. I will also pull a vacuum hose off, a large vacuum hose, and watch my O2 readings. How low does it go? Does it go below zero? The rule is an O2 sensor that goes below zero technically isn't right and should be replaced because it is biased in the wrong direction. All right. Years ago, we actually used to run a test, GM single wire O2s, where we would grab the oxygen sensor wire, we'd disconnect it, watch on a scan tool, and we'd wet our fingers, we'd touch the end of the connector, we'd wet our fingers and touch the positive battery post, and watch the O2 voltage change on a scan tool because our body acted as a giant resistor. It's kind of a fun thing to do. It's sort of like, look at this. And then we would also go the other way and wet our fingers and go to the negative side of the battery. We'd go negative, positive, negative, positive. We'd become the O2 sensor command, if you will. We'd see if we could drive the system rich or lean. Early days, it taught us, you know, it taught us how the system works. It also gave us the opportunity to, you know, test other things by virtue of substitution. We were the O2. So, you know, that's one of the things we do as well. As far as heater circuit testing, what they're doing is they're looking at voltage drop. A computer doesn't measure current, it measures voltage drop. It's looking to see, it's doing Ohm's law in its head, so to speak, that if this much voltage is flowing and it knows the resistance of the circuit, then it's calculating out what the current must be. Does that current flow meet the spec? And if it does, all is good. If it doesn't, then it sees a fault. That's why the vehicles that had or the O2 sensors that had a different resistance value turn the light back on for a heater circuit fault, because as resistance changes in Ohm's law, so does the value of current flowing based upon the base voltage. So it just made all that much of a difference as far as testing capability, but that's how they do it. All right, kiddo, I appreciate your email, and I'm sure you'll get this. You say that you're working and you're doing your service at a home improvement, and you'll get to this on a Wednesday evening after 10:30. So God bless, keep going, and if you have any questions, you know where to find me. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Ron Nain, the Car Doctor, here at 855-560-9900. Keep in mind, I haven't said it yet today, but we are trying to do calls on Wednesday night. So you shoot us an email, 855-560-9900, or leave a voicemail. Shoot us an email, ron@cardoctorshow.com. Tell us who you are, name, number, how to get a hold of you. And we're trying to do tapings on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, for airing on future shows. So 855-560-9900 has multi-purpose. You can call now or you can get in the queue and we'll talk to you midweek. Let's go over and talk to, speaking of talking, let's go talk to Peter in Philly, 01 Jeep Cherokee. Peter, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Ron, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, here's the deal. I got a 2001 Cherokee Sport, a six-cylinder, a 4.0 engine.
Right.
And the problem seems to be in the heating system. I don't have any hot air flow to the floor. I took it to my mechanic, and he says there's a motor under the dash that has to be replaced. However, I only have three controls on the dash. The first one, I have a fan speed selector switch. That works fine. And the next one is the airflow direction switch, which does not work. I do get hot air in the defrost mode, but not for the heat for the floor. And the temperature switch works all right.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The heat that's coming out of the defroster.
Right.
If you set it on mid fan speed, is that hot enough that it's uncomfortable to keep your hand there?
No.
Okay, so it's really only lukewarm.
Well, no, I get plenty of heat up through the defrost because I have to turn it off. It gets so warm.
Okay, so it does work.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just that it's not putting heat out on the floor.
Right. So I guess I used to have a 79 Jeep Cherokee years ago, and I had there was some type of a vacuum tank and a hose.
Right.
Which
they did
was controlling the air to the top or to the bottom.
They did away with all that, Peter.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes, sir.
How many doors do you have on your house or apartment? You got a front door, you got a bedroom door, you got a kitchen door, right?
Well, let me see. There's a cellar door, mm-hmm. two upstairs. I guess a total of, three. A cellar door, a front door, and back door.
Okay. So on your Jeep, you've got a defrost door. You've got a temp door, and you've got a bottom or mid door that either goes to the center of the dash or out on the floor.
Right.
So the little electric motor that runs to the floor or middle of the dash, that motor's not working from the sounds of it.
Okay, so he is telling the truth then.
Right. Here's the key, all right?
Right.
I'd spend $10 and go down to my local auto parts store, AutoZone will have them if you have one near you, and grab a thermometer.
Right.
And stick it in the temp, stick it in the ducts. Do you have enough heat? Because I just want to make sure you don't have two problems. Because it's not uncommon for the older Jeeps to have restricted heater cores. That won't that won't affect where the heat comes out. But I just want to make sure that if he does the blend door, that the rest of it is going to work properly too. Huh. So, for a simple test, so the magic number, all right, especially this time of year when it's not too cold on the East Coast, the magic number, if you put that thermometer in the defroster duct and turn the heat on second or third speed, you don't want to be on full, second or third speed, mid-level, you should see approximately 145 to 160 degrees of temperature.
Okay.
All right. And if you've got that, then you've got enough heat being generated by the engine that it'll defrost and, you know, you won't have an issue. The reason you need that much heat is because if the engine's running at 195 degrees, you're going to lose 30 degrees by normal attrition between it and the ducts. And by the time it gets to your skin, if it's coming out the duct at 150, it's going to hit your skin. You're lucky if it hits it at 120.
Right.
All right. So that's why it has to run so hot. So don't be fooled. That's why I say a couple of things. If you put your hand by the heater and it's uncomfortable there, like you feel like you're getting burned, that's a sign you've got good heat. Grab the upper radiator hose. Is the engine warm, regardless of what the gauge says? And then go to the heater core. Feel both heater hoses. One should be hot to the touch. The other one should be 15, 20 degrees cooler, but still uncomfortable, but not as hot. If that's the case, then chances are it's just a blend door issue. Your basement door's actuator is broken. But if it's not the case, you could have a bad blend door actuator and a restricted heater core, and they're both going to need to be replaced. So just, you know, in terms of longevity. And by the way, that's a 4-liter Jeep. That thing will probably run forever. So, yes, it's worth fixing, especially in this day and age. Good luck to you, Peter. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Hey, thanks for sticking with me this weekend and being here with me this hour. This comes to us from Brian in Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, Ron, we've spoken a couple of times in the past few years. I'm contacting you now about a 2013 Ford F-150 V8. My friend has, she said, the check engine light will light up, speedometer will go to zero, engine will hesitate and run rough. She said shutting off and restarting the engine will get her running again until it happens again. She did have it scanned at a parts store. It has a P0720. I looked that up, but I was wondering if you have any experience with this and what it might be. And also, I looked and it said it could be caused more often by one thing or another. I'm trying to encourage her to take it to a dealer or a shop, but she's hesitant. She doesn't think it can be repaired. I thought I'd bounce this off of you for your opinion. Thanks so much, Brian from Duluth. Yeah, Brian, listen. Tell her to take a look at Technical Service Bulletin 16-0008. It talks about specific problems with that transmission, that year, make, model, body, vehicle. It actually also affects 2011 through 14 Mustangs and some of the Expeditions and Navigators. They have a problem with the lead frame or lead frame inside the transmission assembly. They're talking about replacing it. They have extended, Ford Motor Company has extended the warranty on some of those. I don't know where we are on mileage with this vehicle, so it may or may not be in or out. but it's a sort of common problem that affected that generation of vehicles, so it shouldn't be that difficult to repair. But from your symptoms, your description about the check engine light, the speedometer, and restarting it, that is textbook exactly what the TSB talks about and references in saying how the conditions occur. So I think that puts you on the right track. But by all means, she should get it in and get it diagnosed, because it's only going to get worse and become more unreliable. I appreciate the email, Brian. I appreciate you being there, and I appreciate the ability to be here for all of you. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.